The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Rolling through a Wednesday, Chuck Oliver Show. We begin hour two. We talk college football across nine states and 60 sticks every day for 2 hours. Been doing that for almost a decade. The ultimate goal of spring practice is to get better. The ultimate goal is to practice and finish healthy. That's it. We want to practice, comma, and finish practicing healthy. You do want to get better. It would be awesome if everybody on the roster who was there got better. The real goal is as far as football goes, any player new to the program, this is how we do calisthenics before practice. This is when we do position group. This is when we do teamwork. It's just so you get to know it. We need you to be healthy. Florida State had a spring game, and they have concluded practice. And for the most part, that happened. But football, it is a violent sport, and sometimes stuff happens. Want to welcome on right now. We're going to cover everything that happened for FSU during spring. From Knowles 247, it's Brendan Sinone. Brendan, welcome back, man. How you been?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk about the first thing, and I think that's fair. You would love people to, quote, get better in spring. I think it's about building familiarity, and let's do it and stay healthy. Malik Benson, start with him. How is the transfer from Bama, and is he alone? Who else was in the medical tent?
The two guys who left the game that were probably – or sorry, the showcase, as FSU's calling it, that left the showcase who were noteworthy would be Malik Benson and then TJ Ferguson, both Alabama transfers. Malik Benson, the wide receiver, Ferguson, offensive lineman. Both projected to start and have pretty big roles this season for FSU. And initial feedback has been pretty positive. It doesn't seem like it's going to be anything that would disrupt them come the regular season. So, yeah, I don't have a timeline on how much offseason they'll miss, but I think the initial word is relatively optimistic there. So FSU looks like they got out of Dodge there with those two injuries.
All right, well, let's talk about the name everybody knows, because he has now started 40 college football games across two programs, and the fact that if Mike Norvell brings you in the portal, like, he gets the benefit of the doubt with me now. I'm like, all right, he found somebody. What's the feel on DJU as spring has now concluded?
They really like him. I think he exceeded their expectations. I don't think that's hyperbolic. I don't think that's just coach speak when they're saying that. I know how they felt about him coming in. They were optimistic and thought there were some things they can clean up with his game and get better. And they'll leave the spring feeling like there's more to him than maybe they initially thought. Like, the live arm is there, and I don't think it takes an expert to know he can throw the ball really, really far. But some of the things he did, throwing on the run while being accurate, starting to take some command of the offense, and you know, he's only 15 practices in, so there's going to be a full summer to go ahead and get further, you know, playbook time and working with wide receivers and whatnot. That's going to keep developing in theory, right? But, like, you know, he's shown some of that, you know, demonstrative leadership that you want in that position for a guy who is relatively quiet. So they like him. They felt good about what they saw this spring. I thought the spring game was okay, not as bad as the stat line would indicate. You watched him, he made some big throws. There's probably a couple decisions he needs to make quicker. But really, that was probably one of his worst practices, because we're out there for most of those, Chuck. And he was really good this spring. He was legitimately really good, and there's something to build on for sure.
So I want to ask you about it because all the receivers are new to him. And I want to preface this, like, third and seven, that's not really what DJ does. And, you know, third and seven, and he throws at 7.5 yards. But in that scenario, any BFF sort of emerging as when I need to convert, this is going to be my guy? And then also give me a second receiver because DJ likes to take the top off. Who's going to be the guy, the flyer, the octane guy for him?
Malik Benson is one, and he hit him on a third down pass in the spring contest. It was a nice sideline pattern, to the kind of a fade concept, and put it right over, well covered pass, and even better ball, and a really good catch and concentration by Malik Benson. Again, those guys are both new to the program, so the chemistry and developing, that's going to be important this offseason. And Benson had a really good start to the spring, kind of was quiet in the middle of it, and ended it on a really high note. So his last 3 or 4 days were excellent, where you just kind of see him getting, he's got a lot of speed, a lot of fluidity, but I like how he was coming down with the ball. He would have kind of handling contact and showing his hands really late in routes and doing a lot of like intricate things well for a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of college experience. So Malik Benson's one. I think the other one is probably going to be Ja'Kai Douglas as your projected starting slot wide receiver. Ja'Kai's been around FSU, just going year 5 now, I think. He's been around for a while. You kind of know what he is at this point. He's quick, he's shifty, he can do things after the catch. He's been fairly productive every year, but never like dynamic, and he'll be reliable. And DJ, with some of the crossers that FSU is going to do to try to free up space and things that DJU did well at Oregon State last year too, kind of fits with what Ja'Kai can do after the catch too. So I think those are the two. And then honestly, Chuck, I think you probably have to go in the transfer portal to get one more. They have some younger guys they like as well, but I think you want to, if you can, add a little bit more proven production to that room as well. Just the market hasn't been super robust yet in the spring window, so we'll see what happens in the next week or so if anyone else enters. But I think that's a position you would like to add if at all possible.
I've talked about this several times. I look back at the Florida State offensive line over about 3 or 4 seasons, and I mean, it was walking wounded if they could even get 5 out there. It's a big, giant veteran group with a lot of starts. Did they just hold some guys out because it's spring and they don't need that garbage?
Yeah, to an extent, they have a good idea. And I will say, like, the 5 that they brought out there that were with DJ Uiagalelei are guys I would imagine start for you from left to right, like Darius Washington's an all ACC returning, you know, first teamer. He was awesome this spring. Like, he's leveled up. Maurice Smith is, I don't know, he's got to be close to 40 starts. He's right there with DJU in terms of college experience.
Yep.
The two transfers, Richie Leonard and TJ Ferguson inside, and then Jeremiah Byers had a rough spring game, but had a pretty solid spring. So we'll see what that looks like. But he's at right tackle and a returning starter there. So, I mean, those guys are all experienced to some extent or another. It was really like that second wave of your offensive line was kind of held out. So I ended up seeing a lot of walk-on type of guys in the middle of the offensive line with the second string or the projected second string. So, they have good depth. Your Robert Scott was held out for the spring. He's someone who's battled injury for the last year and a half. When healthy, he's an all-ACC caliber guy. You hope you get him back at Florida State. Julian Armella, someone who was coming on a little bit this spring as a depth piece. He was held out for the spring game. You know, you'll see what his future is with the program. So, yeah, there's decent depth. But your point, Chuck, like, they are an older group that comes with a lot of wear and tear too. So, that's why FSU has kind of flexed depth in the last year or so and really emphasized it, because they know they're going to have to use it at some point or another in the course of the season up front.
Okay, I want to ask you about Marvin Jones's kid, but I can't say it that well. Like, does anybody on that roster understand Marvin Jones Jr.'s father and, like, what that guy – like, does Shade Tree, does that carry the weight it's supposed to? And then actually tell me about Marvin Jones Jr. Did he put a hammerlock on something this spring?
Yes. I do think the name Shade Tree, I mean, certainly the coaching staff knows it, right? I don't know if I've heard players really talk about it.
That's sad to me.
When is that going back to, like, 93?
I know. It's on VHS. It's
I'm sure they know, like, who the name and stuff like that. But, yeah, whether they understand just what a dude that was, yeah, maybe, maybe not. But as we talk about present day with Marvin Jones Jr., I was honestly kind of skeptical of the take initially. I thought maybe he could be a situational third down guy, but I didn't love what I saw late last season at Georgia when his role expanded. But to be fair, Marvin Jones Jr. also had an injury issue in that offseason, yeah. That stunts development, and there's the caveats, right? And you see him in the first week of spring, you're like, okay, like there's some movement stuff here, but you didn't feel his presence. You didn't see like the way he moved and how physical he was didn't show up the way you would expect it to. And then something about midway point clicked, man. It's like he realized, oh, I am really big and strong and fast. And he went on a tear for the final, like, you know, 6 or 7 practices. And spring camp showcase game was really good, too. He almost had a pick. And, like, the way he moved and, like, they dropped him into coverage was kind of almost, like, violent of how quickly he moved into little, like, hook curl area. Like, he's good. I don't want to blow it out of proportion this spring, but I do think you have a really good complimentary piece to Patrick Payton on the other side, and I think that's MJJ. Like, I think they have something there. He's going to be more than a third down pass rusher type, and yeah, we'll see how good he is, but the ceiling seems to be extremely high.
All right, wrapping up, Brendan Sinnell, Knowles247, and it's Knowles247. It's not business journal, anything, et cetera, but I'm going to ask you about a legal matter and some finances because a judge says it's, quote, worth up to $500 million, so that means it's important. Everybody loves a home game, and when I saw the headline, Tallahassee judge, I was like, here we go. He gave him a little bit of time to work on some stuff. Where do we sit now with Florida State and ACC?
They have a week to go ahead and redraft some of the complaint, and it just, to me, it seemed, and this is, man, so far out of my scope. It really is. I'm trying here to kind of do this in addition to the
other. Oh, brother. Yeah, I'm a short dog in tall weeds.
So I'm trying, and Chris Neep with Knowles 247 does a really great job for us, too, and going and sitting in the courthouse and waiting it out, too. And I'm just trying to keep up, man. But, like, basically, I don't think the judge kind of did Florida State a solid and allowing them time to go ahead and sharpen some of the things that they were trying to get across in the lawsuit there. So, yeah, it didn't look inherently good, like, at the time, just based on the way the judge said, yeah, you got to go back and do this. But apparently that's not super irregular for people who are in these kind of cases all the time and talking to attorneys who are familiar with it. So, you know, you have to go ahead and get this one right and get it nice and, like, kind of the complaint kind of filed down a little bit here. And I think the judge said put it in plain English. Which didn't seem like a great sign for the attorneys who put it together beforehand, but made me feel better because I was like, yeah, it'd be great if this is all in plain English all the time and not in legalese. That'd be fantastic. So that's where it's at right now.
Knowles247 is where you can get him every single day, not for the legal briefs, not for the financial statements, for everything to do with Pigskin. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks, Chuck.
Brandon Sinnell. He had the blue check before you could buy it. So you can still get him on Twitter, and it really is him. So, like I said, everybody loves a home game, especially when it's, you know, the guy's got a gavel. So, in Tallahassee, the judge said, I'm going to put this off for a little bit because you need to cross and dot some. So, I'm just going to give you some time to take care of some stuff. And we'll revisit this because if I dismissed it, you were just going to have to refile it. So, we're just going to put this off a little bit. And so, they basically gave him some time, and they gave him a needs improvement list. And at least for Florida State, they're still in the ball game, and at least that end of it is in the state of Florida. So there you go. All right, we're going to break and continue with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show. I have retrieved some of my show notes. I say, every day, I've been doing it for almost a decade. We started in September of 14. I have retrieved some of my show notes from the earliest incarnation of this, back during the Brandon Adams days. I talked about football, I mean, the entire show, almost every day, except when we had to hammer on that UCF kicker who wanted to make money on his YouTube videos because he was selfish and didn't appreciate the scholarship. Other than that, we talked about football all show, every day. Today, I've got to go back to name, image, likeness, because there is a program, and I don't know, is it cause and effect? It's help and effect, at least. If it's not cause, it helps. University of Georgia, and there are others, but UGA for certain, been a half step ahead of Gen Pop, I mean, every day of name, image, likeness. Now, there are about 40 different directions you could have chosen in name, image, likeness. And you know one of the funny things? The least effective to winning on the field, bottom line, the least effective path to winning on the field via name, image, likeness, when it first debuted in July of 21, the least effective name, image, likeness approach was following the two rules to the letter. LSU was a program that looked at it and said, okay, we can't do this and we can't do that. Anything else? And then, nope, just not those two. And LSU's like, all right, let's go. And then they quickly realized we're behind the eight ball. Florida State was one of those. So they're literally, folks, it's not just there wasn't a roadmap or an instruction manual. There was never a chance this was going to happen. Just straight cash payments to college football players for them to leave Alabama and transfer to UCLA. It's a fictional example. To leave Alabama and transfer to UCLA, I'll give you a fat stack. I'll give you a Dodge Charger with $25,000 in the console. Well, UCLA, here I come. That was never even a scenario. You plan for all kinds of things. What if the coach leaves? What if the coach passes? What if this special vote gets passed and we get the extra money for the arena? What if it, like, you plan for all of this? Nobody ever planned for name, image, likeness. The NCAA is like, all right, screw it. We're tired of fighting. Do what you want as long as you don't these two things. Use it for recruiting and reward play on the field. Certain programs said, all right, our approach is going to be, we'll be very aggressive outside of those two things. And then there were states who said, we need to protect our schools so our schools can have no contact with the actual money. And then, like, Florida was one of those states, weren't they? All of a sudden, the schools in those states realize, you didn't protect us. You're keeping us from getting players. At the University of Georgia, they, again, some of it was spin the wheel. All right, let's have a no bad ideas session. They've announced name, image, likeness starts in a couple of months. All right, what are the possible ways to approach this? In Athens, I don't know what the specific words were, but the approach has been, as long as this is allowed, step on the gas. And when I say UGA has been a half step ahead, they happen to choose this approach versus other approaches that other programs had some false steps. And I'll say happened. I mean, they, I'm sure, considered a lot of different things. And Kirby's response to every question, what's better for recruiting? You said we could do it. We're doing it. Well, that's recruiting. Prove it. When I talk about UGA being a half step ahead, the latest example of this, there are Georgia Bulldog candy bars. With the money going directly to fund the name, image, likeness kitty. Holy smokes. The Classic City Collective Bulldog Bar. I'm looking at the chocolate chip variety. If you know those, I don't want to say granola bars, but like, I don't, Nature Valley bars, or it's sort of like an oat rolled sort of bar, and then there's chocolate over the outside of like three sides of it. It looks like one of those bars. And they come individually wrapped. And they're $3 a piece, but they come individually wrapped. And I was at a beverage store. These were literally, there was a box, an end cap, and a display. These were on the end of every single aisle in the store. Georgia Bulldogs candy bars. The money funds the Name, Image, Likeness Collective directly. If you don't believe, you can go find this yourself. I'm not advertising for the bar. I have no idea if they're tasty or not, but I don't think a Georgia fan, that's really the point. Bulldog Bars. This is at their website where every bite supports UGA. Elevate your snack time with unmatched quality of Bulldog Bars. and they go through and describe, and it's chocolate and it's oats and it's whatever it is. It's the ingredients, and I'm sure they're all high quality. But that's, and then back to after they describe a candy bar. But that's not all. With every purchase, you're directly supporting the University of Georgia Athletics. Enjoy a snack that tastes good and does good. Taste the difference, support a cause, and become part of the Bulldog legacy today. Don't buy that candy bar. Buy this candy bar. And out of the $3, I don't know, $2 of it goes straight to us paying athletes. Whatever the percentage is. You can go online and you can order a case of 72 of them if you choose. That's a real thing. So the point isn't whether it's a tasty, nutritious snack. The point isn't that whether it's worth the $3. The point is they exist. That Georgia said, let's now have consumable goods, food and beverage, where your purchase of that goes directly to our athletes. Heath, what's going on?
So we don't have anywhere near enough time, Chuck, for me to get into all the details of this plan, scheme, whatever you want to call it. But the word has come out that there is an increased push to try and create a group of five playoff of some sort. And the idea here apparently seems to be a combination of private equity money to fund it, getting all the conferences to completely recalibrate that are not Power 5 conferences, or now Power 4 conferences, I guess, get them all to recalibrate how they do things and have 8-team divisions that then would have this playoff for what would be the spot in the playoff, the real playoff, basically, after they did this to determine which group of five team would get the spot. Out of all of this, though, the part that got my attention the most, the front man for this, the guy who's trying to make it happen, Chuck, Derek Dooley.
That's
yeah.
Made up.
Yeah, that Derek Dooley. Now, to be fair, Derek Dooley did go to law school and was briefly an athletics director, so he does have some credibility in the athletics community beyond just what he did on the field.
Yeah.
But seriously, if you're going to place a giant bet, you're going to restructure everything, are you really going to go with a plan that the best person they could find to promote this and say it's a good idea is Derek Dooley? That seems really hard for me to believe, Chuck.
Yeah, I don't think that he would be the rudder on the ship, or certainly not the only one. And it's normal. I remember when the College Football Hall of Fame, maybe they were trying to get relocated to Atlanta, and like Archie Manning was the, you know, you get somebody like, well, my gosh, that was Archie Manning. And it was the College Football Hall of Fame, not anything like uber important to the outcome of the season, you know, like this. So I would be surprised if that was the only name on the stationery. Pierce could be the case.
It's all the warm air, the sounds of baseball. It's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show rolls along, hour two on this Wednesday. Introducing the Bulldog Bar, the newest way to support Georgia student athletes. The delicious, low-sugar, low-calorie Bulldog Bar comes in a chocolate chip flavor featuring granola, almonds, and 6 grams of protein, and the money goes to pay kids. And I look at that, and that's supposed to be a snarky sort of criticism or something. That's another example of, in Athens,
They don't care what you think. They really don't. Anything you want to know about Kirby and that football program, where does he want the Florida game? What does he think about the Bulldog Bar? What does he think about renovations to the stadium? His answer is, how does it affect recruiting? So the Bulldog Bar, give them credit, man. That name, image, likeness effort, it's been strong since day one. We're going to talk about other stuff as well, but from the Players Lounge, Georgia, also dogcentral.com, that's his thing. Graham Coffey, welcome back, friend. How you been?
I'm doing well, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Are you aware of the Bulldog Bar? Have you sampled one? Are you? Do you know about the Bulldog Bar's existence?
I am aware of its existence. I did sample one a couple weeks ago. It, you know, tastes like every other bar you've had out there. But I think if you want to support UGA and you want to have a nice little shot of protein, it's a good way to go.
Yep, and if I buy Nature Valley, it doesn't help me get the 4-star from Thomasville. So
exactly, yeah.
Tell me what you have seen, because you're boots on the beach in Athens. Tell me what you have seen name, image, likeness-wise, because my take on Kirby has been, while this is legal, we're going to do it. And it's like everything else they've done around the program. It has been, I mean, full throttle.
Yeah, I think that for Georgia, there has always been a hesitancy to engage in any, you know, outright bidding wars for players who haven't done anything. They're always going to try and prioritize their NIL budgeting to guys who have proven things on the field and that they have spent time with. But even on the recruiting trail, it does feel like for, you know, that real top guy, the one that's number one on their board, they're getting a little bit more aggressive from an NIL standpoint. And I think that Kirby is more than ever. I think after they lost Matt Zollers to Missouri, Kirby is really banging that drum with those big influential boosters in Athens and trying to raise a war chest.
All right. Talk about Jaden Rashada. Really?
Yeah, you know, maybe not the guy you would think of when you think Georgia's going in the portal for a quarterback, but I think it actually makes a lot of sense for both sides. Georgia needs a fourth quarterback, especially after Ryan Puglisi missed so much time in spring practice. I think Gunnar Stockton continues to develop, but does he look like a guy that you'd want to start 15 games with right now? I'm not sure he does. Rashada, really talented passer. I think probably a more natural thrower than anybody they have on the roster, not named Carson Beck. And, you know, Rashada was in that big NIL bidding war with Florida and Miami. And, you know, I think maybe got a reputation, or however you want to phrase that. Like, people started to view him a certain way. But if you want to tell the world that I'm turning the page, I'm starting a new chapter, and I'm all about ball, then you go to Georgia, because, I mean, Georgia is all about football, and they're going to compete every day. And I think that it could be a really great move for him. And at Georgia, everything is so big right now that no one player can really be the story. And it might be a safe place for him to just come and develop and learn to play quarterback for a year until Carson Beck leaves and he can compete in 2025.
In this window, is there a name that has shocked you so far, or that you are expecting? That are you expecting there will be a shocker that jumps into the portal? Because, like, Jamon Dumas Johnson, to everybody outside, and including me, I looked at it, I was like, wow, that kid's had a lot of success in Athens. But then you understand the nuances of the 2-deep and the 3-deep and the 4-deep, and you're like, this kid wants to ball. He wants to shine. So he's going to Kentucky. That's part of it, and he got paid. Like, we know all that stuff. But that was sort of a shocker in that first period. Anybody in this period for Georgia?
I think that there were some guys that they were, you know, there was concern, truthfully, about Michael Williams, I think, in the weeks leading up to the portal. And then, you know, I think that concern went away. I don't expect him to go anywhere. I haven't heard any whispers that might be a case that happens. The one that I think is still worth keeping an eye on maybe could be Kristen Miller. You know, I think that there's been times where he's maybe been, you know, tampered with, to be totally straightforward about it, by some schools. And, you know, he put a tweet out after G-Day that, you know, about, like, ready for year three and all of that good stuff. So hopefully that's where he's going to be, is in Athens. But until this thing closes on May 1st, you just don't know.
Wrapping up, Graham Coffey, and get him online, Twitter, Graham Coffey DC. He's senior editor at Players Lounge Georgia, and it's dogcentral.com, and that's his thing, man. So if you want information about UGA, it's Graham Coffey. All right, Gunnar Stockton, tell me if you can get inside that kid's gray matter, because I know he's a Georgia kid, North Georgia, and Bulldogs, and Bobo, and I know all of that stuff. He's also a quarterback who there's not a lot of paths I see to him playing in Athens. Now, some kids, that is not a thing to them. They'll be happy to just graduate and move on and whatever. He's a quarterback, and that's kind of different. Tell me what you think happens with Gunnar.
No, I think that's a great question. I think that my answer to that would be a lot more solid. If Jaden Rashada commits to Georgia, I think that his path becomes much more unlikely. I think that he probably leaves in December, because I would expect Rashada to end up beating him out for that backup job by the end of the season. He is a talented guy, but I if you look at what Georgia has and the weapons that they have around them, you know, it's really not fair to anybody to have what I would call maybe like a more limited passer. And he's not a bad quarterback, but he doesn't have the arm talent of a Carson Beck. He doesn't have the arm talent of a Stetson Bennett. And you don't really see him with those timing routes and sort of the foundational things in Georgia's offense he hasn't fully grasped yet. And unless that happens between now and December, I think that his path to playing time is going to end up being somewhere else. I don't know, you know, if he goes back to South Carolina where he was once committed, or if he looks outside the SEC, but I agree with you. I think it's going to be really hard for him to ever be the starter at Georgia.
So Malachi Starks, I actually want to ask you about something on field. Malachi Starks, it will be a safety, but he was beat up. Talk either nickel, star, that position, and then the two safeties, how you think it actually shakes out when it comes to August.
I mean, Joe Nelaguero seems to be the guy that's getting the benefit of the doubt at star. He is a bigger guy. He'd be really great against the run. I think there's still some questions of just how good is he in coverage. He had some nice moments on G-Day, and he had some not so nice moments on G-Day. And I think the concern with him has been, you know, can he grasp all of the responsibilities of playing the run and playing the pass? And that's a complicated position within Georgia's defense. It seems like they like his progression right now. I think he'll end up being the guy. And then in the other safety position, yes, you brought in KJ Bolden. Yes, he is super talented. Is he going to be a star one day? Absolutely. And I think that could be by the end of this season, we see him playing significant snaps. But when Georgia tees it up with Clemson in Atlanta, I think that you're going to have Dan Jackson back there next to Malachi Starks. He knows what to do. They trust him. He's healthy for the first time really since 2022. And he looked good in the spring game. And just kind of, I think that, you know, that's a position where you want to take a high floor instead of maybe a high ceiling, and he's a high floor.
All right. Did you eyeball Ellis Robinson? Because I've heard he's maybe the greatest recruit since Herschel Walker. And I'm not, like, trying to be funny here. Like, they're saying at Georgia standards, this kid is a huge future.
No, he does. Absolutely. He's got all of that stuff. I'm seeing him in person as a high school recruit. I mean, his wingspan is, it looks unnatural. Honestly, his arms shouldn't go on his body. And he's just a very, very, like, technically savvy corner for a 17, 18 year old kid. I think he had a good spring, but I think there's always these welcome to college football moments. I know that there were some drills that, you know, Georgia does this millennial Oklahoma drill where they block out on the perimeter, and he tried to tackle some big guys up high a couple times, and it didn't work out for him, which is all part of that learning experience. So I think it'll be a great one for UGA. He did a really good job with London Humphreys on G-Day and kind of made him go quiet, the Vanderbilt transfer that was really highly ranked in the portal. But I'm not sure if and when we see him in 2024.
It's funny. There'll always be like a 2,000-yard high school rusher, and about halfway through his first practice, he's like, all right, run behind my pads. That's what the coaches say, run behind my pads.
That's right.
All right, Graham, I appreciate you coming on, man. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chuck.
All right, the Players Lounge, Georgia. It takes about half a practice. And then there are, you know who you are if you're an exception? I'll give you a, I'm going to say it's recent. Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma, he's about, and Darren McFadden, but that was just a different physical sort of thing there. Darren McFadden, I didn't understand how he was ever going to get hurt. But, and it was a toe injury. But Adrian Peterson was one of those guys that you looked at, and he could run in college the way he ran on Friday nights, which was, I've got the ball, here I come. Derrick Henry had some of that. I want to tell you who maybe the all-time, this guy ran like a Clydesdale, like a Budweiser horse. Up tall, chest out. He's a college football Hall of Famer. He's an all-timer. He drove a Trans Am. Eric Dickerson, now you have to go to YouTube, but if you will YouTube Eric Dickerson, SMU, he may be the best I've ever seen as far as running upright in college in big time, like Southwest Conference was a national championship conference. Billy Sims, if you go back even further and at Oklahoma, and he was one of the first like big backs who would also outrun you. So I just named a Heisman winner and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And then another, like that's the level when you can still in college run high and you're the one, it's pain and you're dealing it out. Not most guys. It takes about a half practice and you learn you need a little run a little lower, stay behind your pads. And on Friday night, you never, there are a couple of things you never had to do on Friday night when you're Derrick Henry. You never really had to run behind your pads. You could just kind of go over folks, and you were never asked to pass block. So that's just, and maybe catch the football, because why would we even involve the quarterback? Just hand him the football. He's standing right behind you. So there are a couple of things that running back never really had to worry about. And then you get into college and you realize it's not the same. This is, now I'm in Gainesville, Florida, and not Apopka. So, all right, we break. Look at the clock. We wrap up next.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
There's no doubt it's a different landscape. I mean, I told somebody, I mean, I'm in charge of the salary cap. I'm in charge of acquiring players. I'm the president, the CEO. I'm the quarterback coach. I'm kind of the chef as well. I'm cooking upstairs. We're doing a lot of different, we're wearing a lot of different hats now, and I'm not here to complain about it. I'm here to say that this new landscape actually gives Maryland an opportunity.
Fear the turtle. A little bit, sure. Depending on the sport and the opponent. Chuck Oliver Show, wrapping up on a Wednesday. Big fan of Mike Locksley. The chapter of his professional career as just an OG in the spread option passing part of that, especially. It was a sort, he hybrided and off his, you know, his branch off the main stalk back at Illinois, and is still doing his own thing, running Maryland, and just a really, really good offensive mind. I've always liked his offensive product. Never has been a consistent winner as far as overall product, and now also understand the, as far as overall wins and losses and finishing in the conference, and then specifically, and this is the important part, his finish in the division. He was in the wrong division. I don't need to worry about that as much anymore. It's kind of off the board for him. So he is, and when he says this new landscape is an opportunity, when it comes to name, image, likeness, I don't know, Under Armour at some point, the advantage was, hey, look at the cool helmets, or the helmets avert your eyes, it's going to cause bleeding. But we had the newest, most vanguard, cutting edge uniforms because we had the Under Armour guy. Well, now it can be a little more blatant. Back in the day, you know, Oregon had the chrome helmets. I guess that was fly. When Phil Knight and Nike money can actually just pay kids, not promise you, you'll have a triple wide mahogany locker with a flat screen TV in the back of it. And we can give you that. I just can give you money. I can give you this, though. I can give you money. You can have a massage chair. You can have whatever it is you want. Can't give you money. Now you know what Phil Knight says? Here's money. Nike says, all of you are on scholarship at Nike. So he's right about that. If you have the right industry and commerce and they're located in a good part of town, when it comes to the college football landscape, you know why? Because how many huge college football programs are in places like, I don't know, Tuscaloosa, Auburn, Athens, et cetera, Clemson? You know what's Clemson, if not for the university? Anderson. That's just what it is. Anderson's the other way. So there's, it's an opportunity. He's right about it. So that's Mike Locksley trying to do the best he can now that the sky has opened up a little bit. They can get into the playoffs with, there's now access, whereas before there wasn't, because if you had to win the division to get into the conference title game, well, that eliminated you. Now, well, no division to win. You have to be in the shouting distance of the conference. Oh, we lost three games, but they were just the wrong three. Well, this year, look, 9-3? That might get you in because, look, the three above you, you're in the Big Ten. They're all in the playoffs anyway, so, yeah, you're in too. That absolutely could happen for Maryland. What's up, Heath?
So for those of you who might be joining us a little later in the program, you might not have heard when Chuck talked about it in the open, Reggie Bush has gotten his Heisman Trophy back, the Heisman Trust announcing that officially earlier today. And so he gets the Heisman Trophy back in large part because people are saying, okay, given what Mike Locksley's talking about there, the new atmosphere in college football, maintaining that Reggie Bush somehow just was way too far outside the lines to ever give him his award back because of how the things were back in 2005 when he and his family, particularly his family apparently, benefited in ways they were not allowed to at the time, that just would seem ridiculous to continue to hold him out given where things have gone. And look, there's a risk of revisionist history on some things. I'm seeing it go a little far here, Chuck. We have people saying, well, how come Peter Warrick doesn't get a Heisman Trophy because he had the Dillard's thing held against him? It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Reggie Bush actually won. They had a vote, and he won and everything. You don't get to start awarding people who didn't win the trophies.
Seems like a bridge too far, but go ahead.
I mean, seriously, you know, how far we want to take this? Well, you know, quarterback wasn't valued as much for their throwing as they should have been at the time. Instead, they were rewarding running quarterbacks. So we're going to decide that, you know, Jim McMahon gets a Heisman now as opposed to, come on.
After all, with gambling so prevalent, what really did Arch Leachter do?
Yeah, I mean, at some point you got to just say, no, things are what they are. I don't mind Reggie Bush getting it back, but when we start trying to pretend that, because again, so you say, well, it was a nominal NIL deal, basically, is what Peter Warrick got. It's like, no, he was getting a five-finger discount as part of someone who was a big Knowles fan helping them out at Dillard's. That's a little different than an NIL deal, thanks. Regardless, also, numbers are in, Chuck, for the first week of the spring portal window, and there were two that stood out. One, I don't know that many people would have guessed on this, 497 scholarship transfers. And that's important because people see the raw numbers, but they don't realize a lot of those numbers in the portal are dudes who are walk-ons that are putting their name in, but it's the scholarship guys that matter. 497. That is up substantially. It's 47% more than last year. But, Chuck, I think if you would put an over-under in week one on how many scholarship transfers there would have been, I think people would have been a lot higher than 497. But the part that really jumped out to me was this. 25% of them, Chuck, repeat transfers. And we've seen a bunch of them, obviously, that are literally repeat transfers this year that did one semester somewhere, didn't get whatever they were getting financially, whether it was playing time, finances, whatever. Something didn't turn out the way they thought they would. And so, boom, they're right back in the portal after spending spring somewhere else. In fact, I saw at least one kid today that's leaving Louisville. So this is now the third kid that's transferred in and is transferring out in one semester, and he may go back to the school he came from. So
hey, Rays.
I mean, you're seeing a lot of this. But the fact that 25% of the guys in the portal, at least in week one, are guys that are on now, in effect, their third school, that really does make you wonder a little bit. The other thing was that the most transfers – are at D-line and DB, which makes particularly D-line all the sense in the world. If you're going to transfer for financial reasons, you're a D-lineman with some ability at a school that doesn't have great resources. It's hard not to think about getting into the portal, I would imagine. And so I was a little surprised DB was second, but D-line being first for the most transfers, no surprise at all.
Yeah, and when I say pay raise, think about the most likely place that you already have some sort of name value traction is the place you already were. And, oh, my, no, we were planning all along to have you back. What are we going to do here at Cooper Feed and Seed without you? So that's what it is. I'm up for bid, man. I'm sorry that sales dipped the past 4 months. I'm available. What do you mean you're available? You just left. Oh, no, no, but now here's another window. Well, back in December, you told us if you leave, it's your last chance. Well, in December, those were the rules. But since December, the NCAA has decided I can transfer as many places as I want, as often as I want, for any reason I want. So, yeah, I can go back. Oh, okay, we'll come back. Here's some money. That's absolutely a very simplified but pretty close version of what's going on. Heath, wonderful job today. David on the ones and twos, spinning gold like you do. Appreciate everybody coming here in 22 hours. We'll all be back for more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.